Proverbs chapter 23. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 688, page 688, we'll be reading the first seven verses of this chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. The seventh verse is the text verse for this evening's message. As is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. And let's read together the text verse. Ready? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
The last special before I preach every service, I try not to listen to it too carefully, because I want to keep my mind on my sermon. And it's easy to get caught up in a special and sort of not have your mind totally on the sermon. After that, I haven't got the foggiest idea what I'm supposed to preach about tonight. So usually when I forget what I'm going to preach on, it takes me longer to preach the sermon. And the same crowd hollering amen, I'll be asleep within 10 minutes. I just have an awful hard time preaching Christmas sermons. I rarely ever do. I think I did back in 1938, I did once. But I have an awful hard time just preaching a sermon for the sermon's sake. And so tonight I want to preach a New Year's sermon again. Same one I preached this morning. I hope I can do better than I did this morning. I want to speak on the subject tonight, how to be happy in 1995. Which means you're going to have to be miserable the next week, because I don't know how to be happy the last part of 1994. But how to be happy in 1995. Our text is text read a while ago. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'll come back to that after a while, but I promise you that if you listen to me, you'll at least know how to be happy in 1995. And if you're not happy, you'll know that you could have been. Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. I want to be a help. And especially on this last Sunday service of 1994. What a wonderful year. 10,600 folks baptized. That's an average of 200 baptisms every Sunday. How good you've been to us this year. Now bless us especially tonight as we investigate the way to be happy for a whole year. In Jesus' name, amen. A young man was sitting in my office, and he was wanting to counsel with me about how to choose a wife. And everybody wants a combination of Marilyn Monroe and Mother Teresa. Neither one of them appealed to me a great deal, but because they're both dead. Some of you guys, that's exactly what you have, a combination of Mother Teresa and our Mother Monroe and Marilyn Teresa. But anyway, we were talking about his choosing a wife, and he asked the question, how should I choose a wife? It's not unusual for some young lady from Howells Anderson College to come and say, I've got a list of things. And this is what I'm looking for in a husband. I want you to know what I want to think about that list. I always say I'm taken. They don't make them like this anymore. But then a guy comes by and he says, I have a list of things I'm looking for in a wife. And I look at the list and I say, good night. Let me look for her with you. All of this stuff. I think I just joined the homeless ministry. But 230 now in the homeless ministry today. But I always say, tear up the list and ask God to give you the person He wants you to have. But this young man and I were talking about how to choose a wife, and he asked how. And I said, I made a statement that I don't think I'd ever made before. And I wrote it down. After I made it, I was so impressed. I take notes of myself. And I was so impressed with what I said. I mean that. Sometimes I'll say things, I don't believe I said those. And I made this statement. I said, use your head and your heart will follow. I can see that you're not very impressed with that statement. But I hope someday God calls you to pastor. And I hope you have to preach on a Christmas Sunday night. You deserve it. You'll know what I'm up against tonight. All in the world you got in mind is what you got and what you're going to change it for tomorrow. That's all you got. That's all you got on your mind. So I said to him, use your head and your heart will follow. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, okay, that's what I mean. I said, ask would I want a daughter like her. Ask, would I want my son to date her? Ask yourself, do I want my children to have a mother like her? Ask yourself, does she have a good relationship with her dad? And that's one of the most important things you'll ever ask. I said, ask yourself, does she get many demerits? I said, a young lady the other day, she's leaving college, and I said, if I were a young man, I'd never marry you. Well, she said, my fiancé is leaving college too. I said, then I wouldn't marry him either. I wouldn't marry a quitter. Ask yourself, does she get many demerits? Ask yourself, does she work hard? What kind of grades does she make? And how does that compare to what kind of grades she could make? What kind of work scholarship person is she at college? Ask her boss for whom she works on work scholarship what kind of worker she is. What does she do for God? Does she just go soul winning 1 hour a week because she has to go 1 hour a week to in college? Or is she one of these that goes out there in the rain, the sleet, and the snow up and down the streets of Chicago trying to get little bus kids? Or is she one of the ones that spends her time all day on Saturday trying to reach public school kids for God? Watch her on her bus route. When your head says yes, your heart will follow. Now, I'm not preaching now on how to choose a wife, but I'll tell you what, you just got some advice. If you'll follow it, you'll be glad the rest of your life. And if you don't follow it, you'll wish you had followed it the rest of your life. How many of you men here that are married, you wish you'd have followed it? Would you raise your hand, please? The homeless ministry just increased some more. And I said to him, I said, don't fall in love, jump in love. You guys that you married because a bug bit you, that bug may die. Think yourself in love. I come to this point, I think about it, I use it often. Use Mrs. John R. Rice and Dr. John R. Rice. We're in a car driving. Mrs. Rice said, John R., she always called him John R., said, John R., do you love me? He said, yes, I do. She said, why? He said, because God told me to. She said, John R., that doesn't turn me on. He said, it won't turn me off either. See, if you're being skinny and having your schoolgirl figure turns him on, when you get fat, it'll turn him off. And you will. But anyway. In every area, and hear me carefully, in every area of life, the mind is supposed to be the switch which turns the heart on. Romans 15:16 says, get this, with one mind glorify God. One mind glorify God. Now, anybody knows that you glorify God with your heart. The heart is the seat of affection. As I've often said, in our civilization, the heart is the seat of affection. And you say, I love you with all of my heart. Not true in some countries. In some countries, it's the liver. You say to your sweetheart, I love you with all my liver. In some countries, it's worse than that. The seat of affection, the kidneys. And you look at your girlfriend beneath the light of the moon and say, I love you with all my kidneys. I mean, be careful what I'm going to say right here, right now. I think I'm on dangerous ground. But the heart in the Bible is the seat of affection. It says, with one mind, glorify God. Now, that's not talking about let's all get together and have one mind and glorify God. I'm not talking about that at all. It's saying get your mind on one thing, and that one thing is how good God is. And your mind will put your heart into gear. With one mind, that's first the mind, glorify, that's the heart, glorify God. That means if you're going to glorify God, do it because your mind tells you to and not because you just feel like you ought to. We used to have a dog at our house. Thank God he's in heaven now. Name was Fritz. Ugliest dog you ever saw in your life. Miss Howes loved that dog. Good night. I wish she loved me as much as she loved that dog. She loved that dog. It was a schnauzer. And she called it a bullet gray. I wanted to put... But anyway, it just looked like a dirty white to me. But one thing I liked about that dog could sing. Everybody that lives in our house can sing. That dog, one of our girls could go to the piano and start. I could go and just bang on a note. Da 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 da. And just. And that dog would run to the piano and put its head up like that. And whoo, ah, whoo, ah, whoo. And would sing as long as you'd play the piano. That dog was charismatic. It wasn't the words that meant anything to that dog. It was the music hit his spine. Like some of you folks. You don't say amen to the words. You say amen to the tune. And you're a lot like Fritz. Except Fritz was cuter than you are. But I'm simply saying, Fritz got, his heart was affected by the nervous system being affected. Now, what I'm saying is, if you want to be happy, don't you let your happiness be caused by external stimuli. You let your happiness be caused by internal will. I will be happy. How many times have you heard me say this? God commands us to rejoice, and God never commands us to do anything that we cannot will to do. And if you're not happy, it's because you've not chosen to be happy. And if you're miserable, it's because you've chosen to be miserable. When God says, love one another, that means you can love. You don't fall in love, you jump in love, and you decide to love. God never gives a command that that you cannot will to obey. And so when God says, rejoice evermore, that means you can will, you can decide to rejoice evermore. So with one mind, for example, with one mind, glorify God. What does it mean? It means with your mind, think how good God is, and you'll break out into a spell after a while. And the difference in you folks that have spells and you folks that don't have spells is not in your heart and not in your emotion, it's in your mind. You don't think how good God is.
You just ought to sit down every once in a while and realize how good God's been to you. You live in America. You live where the gospel is preached. You heard the gospel. Somebody told you how to get saved. You got born again. You're not going to hell. You're going to go to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. You're God's child. God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Bible's your book. Heaven's your home. Rapture's your hope. Holy Spirit is your comforter. You sit down and think about that for a while, and all of a sudden you'll think yourself into glorifying God with one mind. And by the way, you women can think yourself in loving your husband if you wanted to. I mean, just stop and think. That guy, he works and helps support me. He puts food on my table. And nowadays, even you house husbands can think the same thing about your wife. But I mean, you stop and think. I don't care who you are. If you're married to anybody that's decent, you can think yourself to love your husband. And you can think yourself to love your wife. All you got to do is go back there beside her when she gave birth to your child. And you look at that pain, and you look at that labor, and you see that little person, that little gal, writhing in pain and in labor, and you see her as she labors to give birth to your child. Brother, you think about that for a while, and you'll love your wife. My Bible said, with one mind, glorify God. Get your mind on that which makes you glorify God. That's what it means in our text tonight, in Proverbs 23:7. Don't miss this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, you don't think in your heart, you think in your head. It's like this. You pour water into a bucket. You think into your heart. As a man thinketh into his heart. As you feed your heart. For example, if you think about how you're mad at somebody, then your heart will become, you'll lose your temper. If you feed your, as a man thinketh into his heart, your thoughts are what empty into your heart to stir your emotions. There's no difference between you people that you get happy and those that don't get happy. Well, you say, Brother Howes, I'm just not the emotional type. No, you're not the thinking type. You don't feed your heart with enough facts to make your heart rejoice and praise God. Oh, you say to the house, I'm just more the quiet type. No, you're not. You're more the unthinking type. As a man thinketh into his heart, you think with your mind. You don't think with your heart, you think with your mind. But you think into your heart and feed your heart. And if you'll discipline yourself in 1995, you can think into your heart thoughts that'll make your heart happy, and you can be happy in 1995. Romans 10:9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart. Believe into thine heart. You believe with your will. For example, I wouldn't give you a dime for a fellow's religion that all of a sudden he says, oh, it hit me, woo! Wouldn't give you a dime for that. I want a man to think into his heart. I want the heart, the rejoicing of the heart, to be a response of the message the mind sent to the heart. I'm a child of God. My name is written in heaven. My past sins are removed. My future sins are not recorded. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is on my record. God has imputed to me His own righteousness. What am I doing? I'm thinking into my heart. As a man. And that's what the gospel is. The first thing you've got to do to get saved is know the gospel. Oh, I tell you, I was there in church one Sunday, and all of a sudden, wham, God struck me down. I wouldn't give you a dime for that kind of salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the message of God comes into your mind, and all of a sudden, you realize that you're a sinner. That's the mind. Realize that sinners are lost on their way to hell. The price on sin is hell and spiritual death. And that's in the mind. You realize that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, never sinned, never went where he shouldn't have gone, never said what he shouldn't have said, never thought what he shouldn't have thought, never heard what he shouldn't have heard, never had a motive he shouldn't have had, and proved he was the Son of God. And he was here for 33 years and went to Calvary and took upon himself your sins and my sins and paid the price for your sin. And if you will trust that and his resurrection from the dead as your hope for heaven, God will save you. You got to know that before you can get saved. Now, when you know that, your mind says, hey, this is good. And it says to the heart, hey, you're free to do what you want to do. And the heart says, what did you just say? And the mind said, I said I'm going to heaven when I die. And the heart says, say that again. And the mind said, it's an old heart here, hard of hearing. And say it again. He says, I'm going to heaven when I die. And the heart says, well, glory. Now the heart responds to a message sent by the mind. And you control your mind. My Bible said, whatsoever things are true, I've got it down here somewhere, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, whatsoever things of virtue, whatsoever things are praised, think on these things. That's God's command. God commands you not to think on the O.J. Simpson case. God commands you not to think on the Jim Baker case. God commands you not to spend your life reading the garbage about Jimmy Swaggart. God commands you. It is a command of God. Now, God never gives a command that you cannot obey if you choose to obey it. God said, think on these things. He said, this is your circumference. Here are your boundaries. You're not supposed to think on anything that's not true. You're not supposed to think about anything that's not honest. You're not supposed to think about anything that's not just. You're not supposed to think about anything that's not pure, and that'll take care of your gossip. But it's true. The Bible said it's got to be true and pure. God said, don't think on anything that's not lovely. Don't think on anything that's not a good report. Oh, did you see that? Good report, not bad report. And there are people all over this room tonight. You're depressed. You don't know why you're depressed. And you trot yourself down to the psychiatrist. And he lays you down on a couch. And you're there on the couch. And the psychiatrist says, what kind of bananas did your grandpa eat? And you don't know it. But your problem is you have not disciplined your mind to think on things that will send your heart a message to make you happy. Boy, that's good. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. Mind, then heart. I told you what David Niemeyer said about his bride. David Niemeyer was marrying one of our fine young ladies, Tracy Vest. We're over there in the room. Hey, you boys back here in the corner, listen to me while I'm preaching. You ought not be back here in the door. As long as there's seats in front of you, you shouldn't be sitting back here in the first place. David Niemeyer and I were over there in the waiting room. I always meet with a victim and talk to him, find out about how they met, how long they're going to stay married, such things as that. And that's the question I always ask. When did you know that you loved her? And David Niemeyer said, made a statement far beyond his years. And I'll tell you why. Because he's got a mom and dad up here who didn't teach them things like this. He said, I decided to love her. And told me when he decided to love her. That's exactly. He's with the house. You're taking all the fun out of it. I'm taking all the divorce out of it, too. You choose your bride. Don't let her Chanel number 5 choose her. I told you again and again, you marry her because of Mary Kay. You'll wish you hadn't because of Fannie Mae. Brother, she'll get you with Mary Kay, but she'll keep you or try. She'll try to keep you with Fannie Mae. I decided to love her. I like that. He said, I looked at her, and this is what he was saying. He didn't say all this to me, but I know what he was saying. He said, I looked at her, I thought she is, of course, attractive. But more than that, she has character. She has a good father. She has a good mother. And she has a good church, and she's been faithful to church. And she's gone to teenage soul winning. And she loves her father. And she loves her preacher. And she works hard. And she made good grades. I'd like to have a son of mine today, somebody like that. If I had a daughter, I'd be very pleased to have a daughter like that. And he said, after my mind summarized what I knew about her, all of a sudden he said, I decided to love her. We have swallowed hook, line, and sinker this Hollywood tomfoolery. We've swallowed it. Hook, line, and sinker. Well, I've fallen in love. I didn't think I stumbled into love. Let your mind make the decision, and your heart will follow. The psalmist talks about a fixed heart. Have a sermon I preach around the country some on a fixed heart. We think that term fixed heart means that my heart is fixed on something, which means it's just on one thought. That's not what we're talking about. The heart, when David said, my heart is fixed, it meant his heart had been broken. It meant he took his heart down to get it fixed, and he got it fixed. We talk about a broken heart. I have the title of my sermon is The Sin of a Broken Heart. We talk about a broken heart, but a broken heart is not the same as a heavy heart. A broken heart is the heart's not working. And what is the heart? It's the seat of affection. So a broken heart is a heart that's not praising God. That's what the heart is for. A broken heart is a heart that can't weep over compassion. Because the heart is the seat of affection. Now, a broken heart is a sign of a mind that does not have discipline enough to make the heart aware of some things that will make it shout. So David said, my heart is fixed. He meant my heart was broken, but my heart got fixed. Since the mind feeds the heart, I can think myself to a fixed heart. That means I can think myself to be happy. And if you're not happy in 1995, it's because you have not disciplined yourself to think yourself to happiness. But you listen carefully to me. You're not going to spend your year. Hey, in the balcony, sit down up there. Quit running up there in the balcony. Sit down. Not Ben Hur's chariot race. Jack Hyles' preaching race. The honest, simple truth is this. We have fed our minds. And don't forget this. The condition of the heart is determined by the messages it gets from the mind. And so you feed your mind looking for another O.J. Simpson story in the paper. I don't read them. You feed your mind looking for the O.J. Simpson story in a magazine. You feed your mind with that dirty, rotten garbage called Oprah and Donahue and all those wicked, godless, ungodly, satanic, hellish talk shows on television. And you are letting Oprah decide what you think about. Let me tell you something. I'll decide what I think about, thank you. No Hollywood whore is going to tell me what to think about. No Hollywood queer is going to tell me what to think about. And no magazine is going to tell me what to think about. And no television program is going to. Because what I think here is going to tell my heart. And I'm going to be sad or happy depending upon the vibrations and messages I get from my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You don't have to say, oh, Jesus, give me your mind. He said, good night, I'm begging you, take it now. Let it be there. Oh, Jesus, give me your mind. I beg you, give me your mind. That's stupid. Just let it. Did she leave him? Wonder why. Is that right? Now, don't you be surprised when you're blue. Now, you listen to me. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. There's not a person in this room that has any more right to be depressed tonight than I do. But my heart can't be depressed. You say, what? I said, my heart cannot be depressed. Well, you say, Brother Howes, why can't your heart be depressed? Because my heart can only respond to messages it gets from my mind, and I am in charge of my mind. It is impossible for my heart to get depressed. Because I choose what I think about. My daughter was talking today. She said, Dad, I like football. I'm going to preach against my daughter here for a minute. I almost rebuked her, but I didn't. But I am now in public rebuke. She said, I like football. I said, why? She said, football is a man's game. And that's what we think. Manliness is big biceps. Manliness is being fool enough to run head on with a guy and butt heads with him and break your neck. Manliness is giving your whole life to playing a game. A stupid little game. They killed a pig, blew it back up in an oval shape. Run out there and jump on it and fight over it and break their legs. And it's so bad that every day you've got in the newspaper injury reports. Has a list of all the teams and all the guys been maimed. Let me tell you what a manly gesture is. A man is somebody who controls his mind. He says, I'll decide what I think about. You're not going to control my mind. I'll control my mind because I want to be happy. And if I'm happy, my heart has to rejoice, but my heart can only respond to what it gets from my mind. So my will says, this is what I'll think about. And my mind says, heart, this is what I'm thinking about. And my heart says, woo! Have an invitation after a while. That's what it means in Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Let's say, he said that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, our minds realized we were like them that dream. Our minds realized we're not in Babylon anymore. Our minds realized we're free. And the mind said, hey, heart. And the heart said, hey, what you got? What do you want to say? And the mind said, we're free. And the heart said, ha, 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 ha. Then was our heart filled with mouth, filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. It's the mind and then the heart. A tune doesn't make me happy. I'll fly away, oh glory. Now, I don't care if you sing it like this. I will fly away. I will fly away. See, it isn't. It's the fact I'm going to fly away, it stirs me. Some of you folks ought to be named Fritz. It that certain chord on the piano. Ooh! All he's doing, his spine is saying to his heart, sing. He don't know what he's singing about. Now, you won't like this. I don't care. There are enough folks, members of our church, not here tonight. If you try to vote me out, when they come back, they won't know what I said, and they'll vote for me. I can still stay. I mean, you're in the minority tonight, boy. Soft music doesn't make me romantic. I'm gonna work on you, old boy. Okay, Fritz. My mind makes me romantic. Happy music doesn't make me shout. I can shout in the motel room, but no music there if I decide to think about what will make me shout. You say, you're not musically inclined. If that be the case, I'll take mine instead of yours. Man, if I got to think, if I let my mind think about romance, and I could get romantic in the tornado. You think about your wife. What a good woman she is. She's stood with you all these years. She nagged at you while she's standing with you, but she stood with you all these years. She bore your children. She's kept your house clean. She's been faithful and loyal. I mean, all of a sudden you say, boy, think I'll grab her. See, Brother House, what turns you on? I turn myself on, thank you. I control the switch. You can say, well, how you do it? I will to think of those things that the apostle told me to think about. God said, think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praise. And that's all you're supposed to think about, and anything outside that, you're not supposed to think about, and that's why you got your nervous problems, and that's why you're about to have a nervous breakdown. Why? Why? You can't control your mind. That's why your will says mind, this is what you'll think about, and the mind says heart, listen to this, and the heart says either, oh, or, well, glory. Depends on what you send it. So I don't get worked up, I work up. I have 12 things. 12 things written down in my conference Bible that always get me excited. I don't have to turn the record on. I'm sitting on a platform and I'm about to preach Monday night. I was preaching in Orlando, Florida. Mickey Mouse didn't even come. Christmas crowd are terrible. I preached in that same church. Seats about 800. I preached in that same church when you had 200 folks in the altar. Couldn't, in an overflow. Christmas time. 800, probably had 200 there Monday night. Place was comfortably filled. Everybody laid down and got comfortable. And I sat there on the platform, and I never saw, I was more inspired by those that didn't come than it was those that came. I looked out, and I said to myself, self, in about 15 minutes, you got to speak to these sphinxes. There's not a one of them to inspire you. So I said, many years ago, I pastored a little church up in the country, had 19 members. All this going on last Monday night. Church downtown had 106 average attendance. Mrs. Hiles and I used to drive by that church, had an average of 106, and look at all the crowds flood in. We'd sit out there in the car, and we'd watch them. I'd say to Mrs. Hiles, you think we'll ever have a big church like that? She said, we'll have a big church, but never that big. And I dreamed of someday preaching to 100 people. And I sat there Monday night, and I got thinking about that, and it dawned on me, twice as many of those folks. This crowd's twice as big as the biggest crowd I ever thought I'd preach to. And not only that, I turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And I sat there at dawn, told me, I'm an ambassador for Christ tonight. Jesus couldn't be here. He's busy taking care of my business up in heaven. I'm busy taking care of his business down here. And I am substituting for my substitute. And boy, by the time it came time for me to preach, you'd have thought I had 5,000 people out there in that audience. The pastor said to me after it was over, I've never heard you preach as good as you preach tonight. He said, what inspired you? I decided to be inspired. I chose to be inspired. I know preacher after preacher. You let Bill Burr sing Ship Ahoy, and that's a good deal. Some guy says Ship Ahoy, amen. Well, glory. Well, what in the world is so good about a Ship Ahoy? And that shows you're like Fritz. And now I can sing Ship Ahoy. Well, glory! Woo! Oh! Hey, this is a holiday. Let's have fun. That's a perfect example. I'm glad I thought of that. Perfect example. And now I can say, Ship Ahoy. Wow. Oh. I have 12 things that always stir me to preach. People say, Brother Hiles, you look at that crowd. I was out in Nebraska. Oh, I had less than 100 people there. Dean Miller's preaching before me. I was sitting back in the back, and that's that church where the ladies wanted to say amen, but they wouldn't let them. So how these old fans we used to have years ago, you know, in church, they got some little things like little posters or little placards. On one side it had printed amen, the other side had printed praise the Lord. If a lady wanted to say amen, she instead of saying it, she just raised amen up. She wanted to say praise the Lord, she turned it around. While Dean Miller's preaching, those things were going up all the time. Bothered the fire out of me. I sat back there and realized that in a few minutes I'm going to walk up there and I'm going to preach to about less than 100 people. I remember that night I preached to 90 people. 1962, Atlanta, Georgia. 90 people in a 700-seat auditorium. And Dr. Rice said it's the worst meeting we'd ever had. But a young preacher got right with God and decided to become a soul winner. Went out the next day and won his first soul to Christ. His name was Curtis Hudson. 90 people there. I remember that night down in Danville, Illinois. I preached to 40 people. Young man down there decided to become a soul winner and get right with God. His name is Wally Beebe, Mr. Bus in America. I got myself all worked up. The time I got to speak to those 90 people in Nebraska, my heart was so filled. You know why? Because I decided to get it filled. We just had to get it filled. My mind's the filler. I was back there thinking this. Dean, see, here you are. Oh, boy. Look at all these empty seats. Good night. These people, this is the deadest crowd I've ever seen in my life. Preachers get up and say that. You folks are dead. Well, if they were alive, they wouldn't need you, Buster. Reverend Buster. That's what you're there for, is to stir them up. Preacher said to me not long ago, said, the church called me, but said, I'm not going to go because they don't want to do anything. I said, if they want to do something, they wouldn't need you. They could send your salary to foreign missions. I'm trying to say tonight, if you want to be happy in 1995, it's up to you. Strictly up to you. But you say, I got burdens, and so do I. Well, I have heartaches, and so do I. But I decide what I think about. I decide what I think about. And with my will feeds my mind. And my mind feeds my heart. And my heart finds it very easy to have a spell. Somewhere between 40 minutes ago and right now, enough has been said for you to change your 1995. But if it's changed, you say, well, what's going to happen in 1995? I'm going to be happy. Well, how do you know what's going to happen? I didn't say what's going to happen. I said, I'm going to be happy. Over the house, some bad things may happen to you. I didn't say good things are going to happen to me. I said, I'm going to be happy. Well, how do you know? Because I'm going to choose to. Well, how are you going to choose to? Because my mind is going to choose to think about things that will make my heart happy and rejoice. And it's time some of you folks change your entire thought life. As you think in your heart, into your heart, as you think into your heart, so are you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's up to you. Go to the psychiatrist if you want to. He needs to make a living too. To what you can do. If Fritz were alive, we could have you over our house, let you lay on the sofa, and Fritz could sing to you, and he'd do more for you than a psychiatrist would. Because it's not psychiatry or psychology got you in the mess. That's why some of you folks are not criticizing right now. Right now, bad reports are in your mind. Right now, unlovely thoughts are in your mind. Some of you folks can't wait to get out of here. Well, you don't have to hear me anymore, and that's why I'm holding you. And that's why I'm happy and you're not. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Father, bless the message tonight. More psychology than the stupid psychologist knows. More psychiatry than the stupid psychiatrist understands. You never commanded us to do anything. You didn't give us the wherewithal to decide to choose to do. And you commanded us to be happy. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice evermore in everything. Help us to choose in 1995 to be happy as our will chooses what our mind thinks about. So our mind can send messages to our hearts and say, I got some good news for you, and the heart says, praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we stand? The choir will sing.